When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Let's begin front and center this morning with Thought Leader Thursday. Don Lloyd is here. He's the SVP of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchange at Associated Bank. Don, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Steve, good morning. How have you been?
Doing very, very well. How was your summer?
Very fast,
yeah,
very quick,
over.
And now we're getting into the shorter days of the winter solstice, so bring it on.
Right. It's so much going on in the news. I don't even know where to begin this morning, but why don't we start with Brexit? No deal still in terms of how they're going to pull out. There's not a firm path ahead. What's the concern here?
Yep. Brexit is one of three major things going on over in Europe right now. And you've got the perfect storm brewing, and Brexit is a big corner of that right now. So where are we with that? You know, 2 years ago, you had a referendum where the people of the United Kingdom decided they wanted out of the European Union. And that started everything in motion. Article 50 got implemented or executed. And next thing you know, there's negotiations that are occurring between the UK leaving and what are you going to do with contracts? What are you going to do with debt? You know, what are going to be the details of the exit? And guess what? They can't come to any agreement. So the deadline for the exit is March of 2019, which is it's a coming fast. Mm-hmm. So there's talk of no agreement. Are we leaving or aren't we? And what's that going to mean to trade, to tariffs, to contract negotiations, to transportation? I mean, when you're taking a look at Ireland, you know, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, all of a sudden you've got borders that are up.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't drive across the borders. It's not like driving from Missouri to Illinois or Illinois to Missouri. You're crossing in now to a sovereign country and not part of the European Union anymore. So all of that is going to be up in the air. And that's sort of where we are with the whole Brexit thing that's coming back.
Yeah, I remember our past conversations about Brexit were it should be smooth, should happen, shouldn't be a big deal. So is it fair to say that this has been mishandled? Is that what you say?
No, you're just getting into the weeds now.
Okay,
I mean, now
okay.
Reality, you know, 2 years ago, let's vote, let's leave.
Right.
Now, 2 years is a long way, but 2 years went by pretty fast.
It did, didn't it? Yeah.
It went by real fast. So what you have now is this, there are economic implications here. It's going to change our way of life over in the UK. It's going to have an impact to the economy and to the financial markets and whatnot. So of the 650 members of parliament within the UK, there's over 100 of them that right now want to have a second referendum. Before we leave, before we decide to go with no agreement and go down that road, maybe we should have a second referendum to really ask the people, is this what you really want? You voted for it almost 2 years ago, but let's have one more to make sure you're still on board with this.
A do-over.
Right. And that's where you saw the protest march last week of over 700,000 people marching around London, which there was every bit of 700,000 people marching around. Sometimes those numbers can be over-exaggerated or whatnot. But if you've seen pictures of that, I mean, there was every bit of 700,000 people marching around. So in the world global financial markets where all the markets are interlinked and the pool is, you know, the world is one big pool of money that sloshes around, this is just one big uncertainty in Europe that's there that's going to create asset reallocation. You know, the world, the pool of money looks for yield, you know, for some amount of risk, and uncertainty creates risk. And now you've got it front and center here in Brexit looking right at you.
It's interesting because some polls in the UK suggest that people would vote not to leave the European Union if they had to do it over again.
Completely up in the air again. And then what happens?
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, well, we're going to pull the plug on this. Well, you're pretty far down a road. I mean, this is going to spill over into 2019. And as March of 2019 appears, it is going to start to impact the markets more and more, not only in Europe, but on a global basis, including the United States. Uncertainty creates assets to flow into safe haven type countries and securities. And what are those securities? Treasuries. Now, you saw the 10-year treasury yield on the 10-year treasury a month ago was around 3%, blasted up to 3.25%. because these flows are starting to occur, you saw it come back to about a 307, a 308, or about a 313 right now. So you're starting to see incredible volatility. And that's just going to persist. That's going to continue. It's this uncertainty.
What would be some concrete things that would happen in the United States that maybe investors would see here in this country?
Yeah, you'll see, I think, the dollar strengthen. You'll see the Treasury yields come down. Yields will come down. Prices will go up in the Treasuries as a safe haven currency. Then money's got to go someplace. It'll initially go into Treasury, could go into stock market. I know that we've got our midterm elections coming up. I'm actually quite surprised that the equity market hasn't sold off more in front of that. I'm pretty amazed at the resilience of the equity market. Volatility has been off the charts, mm-hmm. but the equity markets are holding in. Once we get on the other side of that, then it's going to open up the doors for monies to start coming back in. That uncertainty of election, whether the Democrats take the House and the Senate take nothing, at least it's going to be behind us, and the market's like that. So then you're going to start to see money flowing back again, probably into equities, and I wouldn't be surprised to see overseas money coming into that as well.
You mentioned that this is more than just the UK.
Yep.
Italy, again, here's another country that has debt problems and budget problems. Give us a sense of what's happening there and how that's impacting.
Sure. Italy, take Greece 2.0. Here you've got a government coalition of pretty conservative right administrators that are in place, whether they're the prime minister or the deputy prime ministers over in Italy. They want to sit there and present a budget. They have to present a budget legally to the European Union. And to be a member of the European Union, you have to meet certain criteria. Two of the criteria are your deficit to GDP needs to be less than 3%. They're proposing a budget which is 2.4%. Their deficit's 2.4% of GDP, which is fine, not a problem yet. It's the other deficit criteria that they're having problems with. Accumulated debt needs to be less than 60% of overall GDP. And Italy is twice that.
Wow.
And has been twice that when they were allowed to come into the European Union almost 20 years ago. They were outside those bands. And because everybody wanted Italy into the European Union, people sort of looked the other way. Italy was allowed to come in, and now they're 2.5 times that, or almost twice as that. The only country that has a bigger accumulated deficit to GDP is Greece. The problem is that Italy is a lot bigger than Greece, so the debt numbers are a lot higher. So what happens is you've got the administration, or you've got the current administration over in Italy presenting and approving a pro forma budget which supports higher minimum wage, let's eliminate poverty, reduce the retirement age. It creates higher deficits when they need to be reducing deficits. So the market reacts and says, oh, higher deficits, what are we going to do? Interest rates go up. Bondholders' asset value goes down because these two things move inversely of each other. In the bond market, as interest rates go up, the price of the bond goes down. So you're holding an asset, an Italian debt asset, of less value than you had. Higher interest rates, not exactly good for the economy over there. And now you've got an administration that says, no, this is going to be our budget. What are you going to do, European Union? And the European Union sits back and says, well, we can fine you. We can sanction you. We can throw you out. And Italy's like, well, maybe we'll leave. So now you've got another country that's thinking, well, maybe we should go on our own, and off we go. It's Greece 2.0, but on steroids. This is where we're going.
Yeah. And if you're at the European Union, what an awful job to have these days, because you have to really kind of be like, okay, UK, you have to get your stuff together, and Italy, you have to get your stuff together, and you kind of almost have to be the tough policeman, don't you?
Herding cats. You're herding cats. And 20 years ago, when all of this launched and the euro came to be, the European Union has been around longer than 20 years. But when they went to a single currency, when 28 countries went to had the option of going to a single currency, and most of them do use the euro, some don't, who are members of those 28 countries that are members of the European Union. Everything was fine. Sort of economies were running in sync with each other. Expansions and contractions pretty much lined up. And the big concern 20 years ago was what happens when they don't run in sync with each other, where you've got certain countries that are expanding and certain countries that are going into recession and contracting or having deficits to meet or whatnot. You're seeing that come to fruition now, probably about 10 years later than I thought it was going to happen, but that's what's going on right now. And those stressors are just going to continue. And the world doesn't like risk. It doesn't like stress. Yeah. It looks for safe haven types and it looks for safer investments, which is just going to exacerbate the whole problem in Europe.
And to throw gas on the fire, let's jump over another border to Germany, and you have Angela Merkel getting ready to step out of the picture, and that economy is very important to Europe.
2019 is going to be the year of Europe, and it's going to be sort of the main driver in the global financial markets is what's going to be going on over there and how they're going to reconcile all this. And you're absolutely right. Here you have Germany, the largest country, the largest economy within the European Union. Angela Merkel, who is head of the CDU, the Christian Democratic Union, and also the chancellor. She's been chancellor of Germany since 2005, 64 years old, and has announced that she'll be stepping down as head of the CDU. She'll continue as chancellor until 2021. This is her fourth term. But the question becomes is who's going to run the CDU, her political party? Who's going to be chancellor after that? And quite honestly, there's no successor that can be really seen or picked at this point in time to take her place. Now, she has been sort of the poster child for stability, for discipline, for growth, sort of sacrificing German quality of life, if you will, for the sake of the European Union. And to have a leader like that step down and step aside, without a successor or replacer creates a lot more of uncertainty that's out there.
Yeah, you create a vacuum which nobody likes from a financial standpoint or a political standpoint.
Worse than that, what you're seeing is it's created this void and this vacuum, and you've got right-wing conservatives that are really starting to gain traction over there. And that started about 2015 when the whole immigration or the migration occurred, you know, out of Syria and out of the Middle East, and they came up through Europe. And you know, Angela Merkel decided to open the borders. She let in probably a little over a million refugees come into Germany. And that really created a political stress for her. And it gave the opportunity for these right-wing conservatives to move forward. And they've got a voice now. So if you can see Germany swing more conservative, think what that's going to do to the stability of the region. That's going to be very interesting over there.
And the red alert siren goes off when you say right wing and Germany together. I think people kind of always wince at that just a little bit.
Well, once bitten, twice shy, but who lives in the past? We don't. It's a 21st century is what I look at.
So I know we often ask you, your crystal ball predictions of this, but if you're an investor out there listening to us right now thinking, okay, this is going to be tough going forward, what do you do? How do you steer the ship steady?
Great question. The U.S. economy, we're getting into the second longest run of expansion since World War II. Give it another 2 months, 3 months, it'll be the longest expansion. The difference is that the previous top five expansion runs, the long ones, they've had high GDP. We're not exactly high GDP, You know, even at 3%, whatnot, it's lower than, the last five runs of this length, or the top five, if you will. It's been a long run, but not a lot of GDP. So this economic recovery that we're seeing going on in the U.S., it's real. It's still in place. It's sustainable. Fundamentally, it's very, very strong. What hasn't happened is that the globe hasn't followed suit. For whatever reason, it has not come along. So are we running out of steam? I don't see running out of steam yet, but I do see
headwinds.
Are we at a peak? A little bit of headwinds, but the peak is sort of like a Michael Jordan jump shot, where he would do the jump shot and just his hang time, he'd sort of float in the air. How long can this peak stay a peak? Could it be 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? I don't know. The point is, you don't have the world economies coming up with the United States behind it. It's tepid. So as an investor, I'm probably not as gung-ho bullish as I have been on other economic runs. Although the building blocks are in place, I mean, I'm still quite bullish America. Mm-hmm. Once we get on the other side of the midterm elections, and you've got these storms that are out there in Europe, but I think that's going to attract capital in the United States. I think it'll attract capital here. We still have low unemployment. We're still having job creation. Interest rates, the 10-year goes from 3% to 3.25%. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when mortgages were 11%.
Yeah, me too.
So, mortgage rates are low. Yeah. Interest rates are low. No inflation, very limited inflation. I'm not concerned much at all with where the economy is going in the United States. I still think it's the place to invest. I think Treasury yields, the yield curve will continue to flatten. I think Treasury yields will come down as people look for safe haven money. So your bond portfolio should be okay. And I think the market is ultra sensitive to this economy starting to peak and run out of steam. So we'll see where the Fed takes that. What we haven't seen in this expansion is business investment yet. You haven't seen businesses start writing the checks to reinvest in their businesses yet. And that's been one of the things that has been holding it back. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm still bullish. I'm still on board. I'm waving my flag nice and high, and that's not going to change anytime soon.
Don, always a great conversation. How can people get in touch with you if they want to have a conversation one-on-one?
Go to the Associated Bank website. The foreign exchange and capital markets number is right there. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Any one of 14 people can pick up and just ask for me. I'm sitting on the desk.
Great. Well, we'll see you next time.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
It's Don Lloyd. He's in charge of the foreign exchange, derivatives markets, capital markets at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. You can hear them every Thursday right here on The Opening Bell. You can find more about our thought leaders at WGNradio.com and at Associated Bank.com/thought leadership.